Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Impromptu Date, A Billionaire Baby Romance by Kay Shani. Narrated by Zaire Jordan and Midnight Michael. Chapter 1. Camille Boatwright.
Are you sure you don't want to come to dinner? I need a buffer.
You can bring Eugene.
Absolutely not. Your family is too much, and I don't feel like being around your judgmental-ass cousins. I need a couple of days to prepare to engage with their messy asses, Ari said.
Ari and I had been friends for over 17 years. She was my roommate throughout college, and we remained friends. A few years after we graduated with bachelor's degrees in business and master's degrees in human resources, we opened Boatwright & Dennis, Human Resources and Professional Consulting. Our company saw immediate success, and we were featured in Who to Know in Black Business and several other black-owned publications before our one-year anniversary. In less than 5 years, we reached billionaire status. It was the end of the week, and all of our employees had left for the weekend. We typically stuck around for a couple of hours after the office closed.
You got a man, so they won't bother you, I told her. I'm not worried about them bothering me. I don't have a problem telling them what part of my ass to kiss. I don't feel like sitting idly by while they talk shit about you and you don't snap back on their asses. Ari, you know I don't care what they say. I'm out here living my best life while they're in miserable marriages with cheating husbands. I know the truth, so I let them talk. You're better than me. I'd hurt the damn feelings if I were you. Anyway, Eugene made plans for us. We're meeting up with a couple of his friends and their significant others.
Oh, shit. You're meeting friends now? That's a good sign, right?
It is. I think he might be the one. Everything with him is so easy, Ari confessed.
I love this for you. I get nothing but good vibes from him whenever we share space. Eugene is a good guy.
I know. But back to this dinner. Is this for a special occasion? I thought the monthly family dinner was last week.
I rolled my eyes as I thought about why my family was meeting for another dinner this month. Our family trip is coming up, and we have to go over last-minute details, I told her.
When is the trip? And where are y'all going again?
A month from today. We're headed to Ubud, Bali for 2 weeks.
I would say it sounds like a dream vacation, but I know it won't be with your messy-ass cousins pretending like their marriages are perfect.
Yeah, I tried to get out of it, but my parents weren't going for it. Mr. and Mrs. B aren't nearly as bad as your cousins, but they've been known to apply a little pressure.
That's because they're ready for a grandchild. At this point, my mother wouldn't care if I went to a sperm bank.
Ari gasped. For real?
I nodded. She's mentioned it a few times now, but I honestly don't even know if I want kids.
You've been saying that for years, but have you ever told your parents?
I have, but I'm not sure if they believe me. I figured they'd get the picture when it never happened.
Maybe you should remind them so they won't keep applying pressure.
Nah, they'll just tell me all I need is the right man and I'll change my mind.
Girl, I don't envy you.
Maybe it ain't so bad having parents that don't give a damn about you, Ari joked.
Ari's parents were drug addicts, and she saw them sporadically growing up, and now they only reached out if they needed something. Her grandmother raised her, and she passed away a few years ago.
Stop it. I'm serious. I love how your parents love you, but damn, they can be overwhelming.
You got that right. You don't know how many times I prayed for a sibling.
I bet.
You know what? I have an idea that might take the heat off you. I mean, at least during the trip.
I'm almost willing to do anything.
Let me hear it.
Have you heard of Platinum Connections?
I frowned as I thought about where I'd heard the name before.
The escort service?
Ari nodded.
Are you suggesting I use an escort service?
I am. Ari, we've been friends long enough for you to know damn well I'm not about to use an escort service. Who will know? I don't know. But if someone in my family finds out, I'll never hear the end of it. Girl, fuck them people. The only people who will talk shit are those chicken heads you call cousins, and I know you don't care what they think. I shook my head. I don't care, but I also don't want to hear their mouths. She sighed and rolled her eyes before saying, I have a confession. What's that? I met Eugene through Platinum Connections. I gasped because I didn't believe her. You didn't. I did. And I have zero regrets. I mulled over the idea for a few minutes, but couldn't see myself going to that extent to meet a man, although I was happy things had worked out for Ari. I can't do it, friend. She shrugged her shoulders. Suit yourself. We talked for a while longer, then called security to escort us out of the building. Downtown Chicago was relatively safe, but we always took extra precautions. We also had drivers because traffic was always an issue in the city, even though we lived downtown.
Ms. B., how are you this evening?
Good evening, Simon. I'm doing well, but I'm headed to my parents' house, so that could change. He chuckled before replying, Don't let them ruin the rest of your Friday night or weekend. That's easier said than done. While Simon drove me to Evanston, a suburb 15 to 20 miles north of Chicago, I replied to the emails and text messages I couldn't get to today. When we pulled into my parents' circular driveway, I took note of the cars already there. Give me a minute, Simon.
Of course,
he replied as he exited the car. As usual, my cousins, Monroe, Bailey, and Delaney, were always the first to arrive at any function. They were stay-at-home moms with nannies, cooks, and maids. I wasn't sure why they needed a nanny, because their small children went to daycare while their older children were in school or summer camps, depending on the time of the year. I wasn't a mother, so I kept my judgment to myself. I sighed, giving myself a mental pep talk before tapping the window to alert Simon I was ready. He opened the door and helped me out of the truck before asking if I wanted him to stick around. I don't want to be here for longer than an hour. Call me if I'm not walking out of that door by 8:45, and I'll pretend I have a work emergency.
I got you, Miss B.
I approached the front door to my parents' home, and before I could ring their doorbell, my mother, Anika, answered the door. Hey, Cammy, Ma greeted with a hug. Hey, Ma. Has the meeting started yet? No, we're still waiting for your aunts, uncles, and a few of your cousins. You know Monroe, Bailey, and Delaney are already here. Even if I hadn't seen their cars, I'd assume they'd already arrived, because they can't wait to be messy. Don't start, Cammy. You know they mean well. If you say so. Where's Daddy? He went to the store to grab a few things, and should be back shortly. What's on the menu? I'm starving. I was in the mood for tacos, so I had Grace prepare a taco bar. That sounds great. I followed my mother into their huge kitchen, where my cousins were seated at the breakfast bar that took up a large area. Hey, I greeted the three of them. Hey, they replied simultaneously. Ma, how long do you think the meeting will be? My cousins and I merely tolerated each other, so there was no need to engage in unnecessary conversation. Once everyone arrives, it shouldn't be too long. Why are you in a rush? Surely you don't have a date on this lovely Friday night, Delaney stated. I don't, but I heard your husband and his mistress were at their usual Friday night spot. Camille, my mother scolded. She started it, Ma. It's okay, Auntie. Your daughter is lonely and miserable and wants someone else to feel her pain so badly, Delaney said. Yep, that's me, lonely and miserable Camille Boatwright, whose bank account has more zeros than you can count. Money can't buy you happiness or keep you warm at night, Bailey chimed in. It sure can't, Monroe agreed, giving Bailey and Delaney a high five. I don't know, cousins. I always go to bed with a smile on my face because I'm not worried about which of my man's mistresses will pop up pregnant this month. Ma, do we have to wait for everyone else to eat? Camille, do you always have to go for the jugular? Ma asked, trying not to laugh. She tried to keep the peace between us, but she knew I could hold my own. Tell your nieces to mind their business and stay out of mine, and everything will be just peachy. Now, about the food. Yes, daughter, we need to wait for the rest of the family. I think most of them are pulling up now. My mother disappeared to answer the door, leaving me in the kitchen with the dumb, dumber, and dumbest. I knew they wanted to keep talking shit, but my mouth was lethal, and they didn't want the smoke. Luckily, Scarlett and Josephine, two of my mother's sisters and Monroe and Bailey's mothers, were nothing like their daughters, and I was their favorite niece. When they entered the kitchen, my face lit up with a smile. "Hey, aunties," I said before giving them a heartfelt hug. "Look at my beautiful niece. How have you been?" Aunt Scarlett asked. "Busy, but great," I replied truthfully. "Where are my uncles?" "Their fraternity chapter meeting is tonight, so they won't make it," Aunt Scarlett replied. "Have you found a man to knock the cobwebs off that Josephine, really?" Ma interrupted her baby sister. "What? I'm just asking if my niece is sexually satisfied," Aunt Josephine replied, her tone filled with innocence. "Are y'all really acting like your daughters aren't sitting right here?" Bailey asked my aunts. "Girl, hush. I talked to you 6 times today. Where are my grandbabies?" Aunt Josephine asked. "At home with the nanny," Bailey told her mother. "Now you know that was a silly question. These 3 only spend time with those kids when it can't be avoided," Aunt Scarlett added. "Hey, Mon."
"Hello, Mother," Monroe mumbled.
One would never think Monroe and Bailey belonged to my aunts. Their personalities were polar opposites, and I found it hard to believe my cousins were raised by the women I knew and loved. Within the next 10 minutes, my father, Sawyer, returned from the store, and more of my relatives, including my mother's brother and Delaney's father, my Uncle Amos, his wife, Aunt Macy, and my dad's only sibling, Uncle Sonny, arrived. Eventually, more of my cousins showed up, but the meeting had already started. "Okay, so the final payment for any additional excursions outside the ones we're doing as a group is due on Friday. You can pay when we arrive, but it'll probably be double the cost," my mother said. "I think Cammy can cover any additional excursions if we decide to do any others," Bailey said, wearing a smug look. "I think your husband should cover the costs." "Oh, wait! I almost forgot. He has to pay for his mistress, so things may be a little tight."
"Damn, that was cold, Cammy," my cousin Trindell said, trying to stifle a laugh. "The truth can be cold sometimes," I stated, returning the smug look to Bailey.
"Bailey, why are you over there offering Camille's money anyway?" Aunt Josephine questioned. "Last time I checked, she was the billionaire of the family," Bailey defended. "She should have paid for this whole trip for everyone."
"Oop, you didn't know? I did pay for everyone, except you, and your raggedy-ass husbands," I taunted, pointing at Bailey, Monroe, and Delaney.
I couldn't remember when I'd felt more satisfied than I did witnessing the shock and dismay on my cousins' faces. The mansion I rented slept 30 people, and we were flying to Denpasar, Bali, Nura Rai Airport, located in the southern part of Bali, on a private plane. However, I had one of my assistants look up flight and resort prices, then told my annoying-ass cousins the trip was $4,000 per person. I donated their money to a local women's shelter, because I didn't need it, and didn't feel an ounce of guilt. It served their asses right.
"Baby girl," my father said, shaking his head.
"I'm sorry, Daddy. I'm sick of them always coming at me sideways."
"Maybe they'll learn to keep their comments to themselves," Scarlett added.
The funny part was the whole family knew I'd made my evil cousins and their husbands pay for this trip.
No one said a word, because they'd witnessed how badly those three treated me over the years and understood my reasons. I'd let their shit slide in the past, but I'd had it with their cattiness and disrespect. The meeting continued for about 20 minutes. I thought the shock of covering everyone's travel expenses except theirs would shut them up. But nope. Those hands still had something to say.
As always, everyone will be booed up except you, Cammy. Damn, I would hate to go somewhere as beautiful as Bali and not have someone special to share it with, Delaney said. And you're so lucky. You'll have two people to share it with. Maurice is still bringing his baby mama, right?
That's enough, girls. Don't you get tired of throwing digs at each other all the time?
My father chastised. If they didn't start it, I wouldn't have a word to say, Daddy. But I refuse to let them talk to me crazy and not respond. They're mad because I know how to keep my personal life personal, and I'm not on Facebook arguing with my man's side chicks. Everybody knows you're single as a dollar bill, Cammy, Monroe said. That's because that's what I want you to know. Simon is here to pick me up. You expect us to believe you have a man and we've never met him? Delaney pressed.
I don't care what you believe. Goodbye.
I quickly did my rounds, leaving kisses on everyone's cheeks except my evil cousin's. She's lying. Her ass is as lonely as they come, Bailey mumbled loud enough for me to hear. I can show you better than I can tell you, I said before leaving my parents' home. After helping me into the truck and hopping behind the steering wheel, Simon asked,
So, how'd it go?
Let's just say I got a month to find a man willing to spend 2 weeks with me in Bali while pretending we're madly in love.
That good, huh?
Simon replied sarcastically. Taking my phone from my purse, I went to the search engine and typed in Platinum Connections.
Chapter 2 Kasim Mavens.
Hey, Q, you might want to handle this one yourself, my younger brother Logan said as he entered my office without knocking. One of these days, you can walk in there without knocking and see some shit you'd rather not see.
My bad, bro. Check your email.
Logan had only been working with me for a few weeks and was still getting a feel for how I ran things. Until I'd hired him, I ran Platinum Connections alone, with the exception of a few assistants. He'd recently earned an MBA from Southern Illinois University, so I figured he'd be a great addition to my company. Platinum Connections was an upscale, elite escort service. Our clientele was comprised of some of the wealthiest people in the world. About 6 years ago, I became the sole owner when one of my suppliers got locked up and sentenced to 35 years with no chance for parole. Under Leo's ownership, the name of the company was Escorts for the Elite. It was the only legitimate business he owned, but I was skeptical when he approached me about buying it. After hiring an accountant and lawyer to review the records, I made Leo an offer he couldn't refuse, considering his circumstances. I'd been looking for a way to leave the streets without changing the lifestyle to which I'd become accustomed. Since I'd taken over the company, I'd been able to do a lot more than expected. Camille Boatwright. That name sounds familiar. I continued reading her profile, and it hit me when I saw the name of the company she owned. Damn, this lady is the real deal. Her partner used our services a few months back. She should have gotten a questionnaire to complete a few weeks ago after the first date, asking about her experience. Let me see if I can find it. What do you know about this woman? Her and her partner, Ari Dennis, have been featured in several black-owned publications. They own an HR firm, and I think they became billionaires within the first few years. Billionaires? Damn. Here it is, I announced when I found Miss Dennis's completed questionnaire. I scanned it, looking for keywords, and it looked like she'd had a great experience. Based on her positive responses, I'm pretty sure she recommended us to Camille. Referrals are always good. You got anybody on her level? I need to look at her profile a bit closer. If she's anything like her partner, we should have someone that meets her requirements. Sounds like a plan. I'll leave you to it. I'm headed out. See you tomorrow.
Logan left, and I stared at Camille's picture on my computer screen. The images I'd seen of her in magazines didn't do her justice compared to the pictures she'd attached to her profile. I wouldn't be surprised if her picture went next to the word beautiful in the dictionary. Part of me wanted to go on a date with her to see if she was as dope as I imagined, but dating my clients was against the rules. Who was I kidding? Dating at all was against my rules. Besides my mother and Logan's mother, I had little trust in the opposite sex. Of course, I had needs that only a woman could satisfy, but I didn't see myself being with anyone long term. I'd come to terms with experiencing life and growing old alone, and it would take a special woman to change my stance. I went back to Camille's profile. It stated that she was 35 with no children, had never been married, and her last serious relationship ended 3 years ago. She was a sports enthusiast, football being her favorite, and a diehard Chicago Bears fan. Baking was one of her favorite hobbies, and reality television was her guilty pleasure. Over the past few years, she'd fallen in love with traveling and found herself in another country at least 3 times per year and in another state more often than that. Last but not least, family was important to her.
She seems perfect, I whispered, scrolling back to her picture. The longer I looked at her picture, the more I wanted to talk to her to find out if she was as great in person as she seemed on paper.
I can't do that, I said aloud to myself. I remained in the office until I found someone I thought would be a good match. After going through the necessary steps to connect Camille and her date, I shut down for the evening, knowing I'd found the best match for my client, but low-key hoping it didn't work out.
Mr. Mavens, Oscar Williams is here to see you.
Gail, one of my assistants, told me through the intercom. Thank you. Send him in. Oscar Williams was an escort for Platinum Connections. He had only been rated 5 stars by all of the clients I connected him with, so I hoped nothing had happened to change that.
What's up, Q?
He greeted as he entered.
Nothing much. How are things with you?
They could be better. My, father passed away 2 nights ago.
Oh, damn. I'm sorry to hear that.
Was he ill? Oscar shook his head as he spoke.
Not at all. He seemed to be in great health.
He went to bed and didn't wake up the next morning. The doctors think it could have been a heart attack in his sleep.
You and your family have my deepest condolences. Do you need anything?
Nah, man, I'm good. But there is something else.
Let's hear it.
I'm not sure if you handled the connection personally, but a few weeks ago, I was connected with Camille Boatwright. Just hearing her name took me to another place.
Yeah, I actually did handle that one myself. Did the date go okay?
It went fine, and we went out a few more times.
Oh, you did? I questioned, trying to hide my disappointment.
It was kind of necessary. On the first date, she asked me if I'd accompany her on a 2-week-long vacation to Bali with her family. They'd been hounding her about still being single at 35, and she wanted me to pretend to be her man. So we went out a few more times to go over what we needed to know about each other to pull it off.
When is the vacation?
She leaves in 2 days, and I'm supposed to meet with her tonight to get the rest of the details.
I nodded, understanding his plight. Have you told her?
He shook his head. She's cool, but this is personal. I don't...
You don't have to explain. Focus on your family, and I'll handle this. I'm sure she'll understand.
Thanks, Q.
It's not a problem. Send me the details for tonight's date, and I'll ensure she's informed. Let me know if there's anything I can do for you and your family. And again, I'm sorry for your loss. Of course, I was saddened by the news of Oscar's father's unexpected passing, but I couldn't help but wonder if this was a sign. I'd be hard-pressed to find someone who'd make Camille's standards with the availability to leave for 2 weeks on such short notice, but I could clear my schedule. A text came through from Oscar with the details of their date. He made reservations for 7 p.m. at Virtue Restaurant and Bar. The grin I wore was from ear to ear as I thought about spending time with this beauty that already had me captivated. Logan happened to enter my office without knocking and noticed my wide smile. You must be in a good mood. I'm probably about to do something I shouldn't, but I got a good feeling about it. Let me hear it. You know I have strict rules about dating clients. He nodded. Well, it looks like I'm about to break my rule. What brought this on? Remember a few weeks ago, you barged in here and told me I should handle finding a match for one of our potential clients? Yeah, the billionaire. Oh, shit. You about to hook up with it? I connected her with Oscar, and he committed to going on vacation with her and her family in 2 days. But his pops passed away, and he can't go. So I think I'll take his place. Damn, I'm sorry to hear that. How's he doing? He seems fine, considering the circumstances. So you're thinking of filling in for him with this client? I am, if our date goes well tonight. Does that mean... No, the rules still apply. No dating the clients. But... Nigga, you heard me. Ain't shit changed. You could be stopping me from meeting my future wife. You know, that's a good point. If this works out, I'll think about changing the rules. Does this mean you've changed your stance on marriage and long-term relationships? Had I? Nah, I hadn't even met the woman. Her beauty had me by the balls, but I wasn't looking for anything long-term. I'm still not particularly interested in either, but some consistent pussy would be nice. In that case, I hope it works out in your favor. Are we still meeting Pops for lunch today? Oh, shit. What time is it? Time to go? All right, I'll meet you at the elevators in 5. Logan left my office, and I checked my email to see if I'd received any new ones. After responding to 2 messages, I used the bathroom I had in my office and left. Where are we meeting him? I asked Logan. At the Gourmet Deli around the corner. I forgot the name of it. Logan and I were 11 years apart in age and had different mothers. Our father, Graham, cheated on my mother, Pandora, with Logan's mother, Misa, which caused my parents to divorce. Misa had no idea our father was married, and when she found out, she also ended things with him. The crazy thing about the whole ordeal was our mothers were the best of friends, and both of them stopped fucking with our father once Logan and I turned 18. The deli was a 10-minute walk from our building, so we got there in no time. Pops was a timely man and was already there when we arrived. I'd be shocked if he didn't say something about us being late, even though we were right on time. What's up, old man? I greeted him when he stood from the booth to embrace me and Logan. I bet I can pull any woman on y'all roster, old or not, he replied. Maybe the women Q deals with, but the ladies I entertained wouldn't look in your direction, Logan told him. I won't argue with you, son, when I know the truth. Why are y'all late? We're not late, Pops. Have you ordered yet? I asked. Had y'all been a minute longer, I would have. A server came up and took our orders, leaving us to converse while we waited for our food. So what's been going on? Pops questioned. You ain't fired his ass yet, so he must be doing okay. Damn, Pops. You didn't have faith in your youngest son? Let's not pretend like you didn't barely make it out of high school and almost flunked out of your first year of college, Pops reminded Logan. Why you bringing up old shit, man? I got my MBA.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?